What we're going to do for Sefer Iyuv is we're going to go through Schwab's translation to Iyuv, not just the translation, but his basic ideas and everything that he did. Now, Rav Schwab goes through everything, and it's awesome the way he goes through it, but he has a very, very unique way of going through things. Remember that Rav Schwab came from a German background. He was a Talmud of Rav Breuer, and really was a Talmud of Rav Hirsch, Rav Shlomo Shmuel Fall Hirsch. I don't believe he was alive for almost 30 years after Rav Hirsch had passed away. But we're talking about Hirschian philosophy. And Hirschian philosophy includes, right, obviously, the ability to take Torah and to learn from it in ways that I don't think everybody else does. It's just very different from, like, the Vilna type of way of learning the Gaon and, you know, the way that we have in yeshivas or in the Musar type of way, right from your soul Salanter. It's very, very unique in his way of doing it. Now, he says the following. He says, the Sefer of Iyuv, as well as Daniel, is probably the most least understood Sfarim in all of Tanakh. Daniel is obvious because most of it is in Aramaic, and it's very difficult to understand or translate in the first place. Iyuv, on the other hand, is almost like a mace mitzvah. People have no clue what's going on. The middle 36 prukim. The wording is so poetic and out of our normal, like, we're going to see words that mean something else elsewhere, and over here it means something else entirely. We're just going to look at it, we're going to say, what in the world does that mean over here? But the idea is that we're going to try to use the explanations of Chazal to use within this Sefer to be able to understand it. Without using Chazal for it, it's almost like looking at the stars in the sky without a telescope. You're not able to see what a person could possibly see within this. What? So here's the central theme. The theme of Iyov is the age-old question of Tzadik Varalo, Rush of a Tovlo. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? And that. But it's like this. If there was a pattern where all righteous people suffered in this world, and they would get all of their schar and olam haba, and that all rishayim would get rewarded in this world, and that they would all suffer in the next world, nobody would have any questions. Then everything would be understood, self-understood, and you wouldn't have any issues with it whatsoever. Because that's systematic reward and punishment, schar va'onesh. That's not what the problem is. The problem is that we see things that are not clear. Where sometimes tzaddikim do really well for themselves, and we assume they're still going to get olam haba because they're great tzaddikim. There are other tzaddikim that don't do well at all, and we're looking at it. And sometimes the people that are even doing really well, it's not like they're always doing well. That's like in a vacuum. They're doing really well this year. They're doing really badly the next year. They're doing really well the year after that. What does that mean exactly? How in the world does it occur? Is it that every Rosh Hashanah, these guys were judged badly and these guys were judged well or whatever it is? That's our problem. There's no way to be able to go through. And basic emuna, and what we're going to take out of the Sefer, is that at the end of the day, there are some things we are going to have no answers for. There are some things where we have to be assured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis is definitely there. And in fact, not only is that obvious, but emuna is a basic commandment that we command every 13-year-old boy and 12-year-old girl. Welcome, David. Grab this. We command every 13-year-old boy and 12-year-old girl to believe in God. That is an automatic tenet. You must believe in them no matter what. If you believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you have that need to believe, it must be it's the easiest thing in the world to do. You can't ask it of a 13-year-old boy and 12-year-old girl if it wasn't easy. So it's got to be that it's something that's extremely obvious, and that's that. Which means that what throws us off is the Hashgacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of individuals and how to understand those types of things. Moshe Rabbeinu had this kasha, and he never got it understood. Tzadik V'ra'alo Rosh HaTovlo, and he never got it. Iyov, on the other hand, he asked it in all the Midrashim. The real place where he asked it is at the end of Parshas Shmos, beginning of Parshas Va'era, where he says to Hashem, where all the Jews, where they suffer even more before they leave, and Moshe Rabbeinu is like, why do you send me in the first place? What was the point of this in the first place? Which is not coincidental that he may have been the author of Sefer Iyuv. According to the Gemara in Bava Basra, he was the one who wrote up Sefer Iyuv, because that's all that. At some point, though, we're going to have to say to ourselves, I don't get it. I know certain things, but I definitely don't know all the answers, and that's something that we just have to see. We're going to see that his friends come to comfort him. His friends were awesome friends, and we'll talk about them a little bit later. We'll talk about Eliphaz at least today, right? But each one of the friends has their own way of looking at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does and why he does it, and he tells them, and they say to him, the basic idea of, you must have sinned. There's no way you're going through this world without sinning. It's got to be that you've sinned. And Iyuv says back to them, not this bad. I know I've sinned, but there's no way I deserve everything that happened to me. He cannot understand it. So his friends are like, oh, then you're Apikoros because you don't believe in God then. And she's like, I do. I don't understand. No, that's not. That's the whole problem, that Iyuv's friends corrected him in the wrong way. And it also helps us that when something bad happens to somebody, we should know what not to say. We're going to look at what his friend said, and we're going to know what we shouldn't be saying over here. We're going to see what happens at the end of the day, though we'll see that Eov was a servant of Hashem. He's an Eved Hashem. That's there as well. But the basic lesson, the primary lesson of Sefer Eov, is there HaKadosh Baruch Hu does impose suffering on people, even if they do not deserve that amount of suffering. That's the idea that's going to come out from over here. We're not going to reveal the questions, and Eov does not understand the mind of God, and that's okay. But Eov had to learn for himself what it meant to accept Yisurin Ba'ahava. Certain times, Yisurin have to be accepted and just say, fine, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May I have another? And just accept it as is, because that's the fact of life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in this world. Sometimes it's to suffer, and we have to accept it as it is over here. We do compare Eov to Avram Avinu. We're going to show that there's a major difference between Avram and Eov in that sense. Avram accepted everything that happened to him and loved God more for it. Eov could not accept it and could not find love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Couldn't find it. When bad things happened to him, he just couldn't see what it's going to be. Now, Eov was written with Ruach HaKodesh, and we said we don't know exactly when it was written. There are major, major kashas if he was Jewish or if he was not Jewish. Did he live in the times of Mitzrayim? Did he get married to Dinah? Are we talking about somebody who lived by the times of Ahasuerus, possibly the queen of by the queen of Sheba when she came to visit Eov? Was he there when the Meraglim came into Eretz Yisrael, and that's when he died? We know nothing really about the actual life of Eov. In fact, there is an opinion in the Gemara, although it's unnamed and knocked out immediately by Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, that Eov never was, never will be. It was a mushel. The whole thing is a parable. That the never thing never happened, and the whole thing never happened as is. You just know, by the way, the Rav Haigon says that whole thing about Eov Lohaya Veloiyah, that he never was, never will be, etc. The word he says, Eov Lohaya Velonivra Ella LaMashal. Eov was only created to be a mushel for us. Not that he never was created, right? But rather, he was only made in order to be a mushel. That's the idea behind it. But we're going to see quite a bit when it comes to this. So that's our preface for right now, getting into the psukim themselves. Suffered. And that's why he suffered, right? Well, no, there was reasons. We just don't understand all of the reasons. Well, we're going to see some awesome stuff, though.
The thing that's fascinating is that, you know, we have, let's say something bad happens to one person. Mm-hmm. It usually doesn't just affect him.
Yeah.
It affects all his relatives. There's a whole chain of things that happen.
Other people are punished at that moment.
Knows exactly how to do it, when to do it, to who, in which way.
Very good.
So that way everyone gets all of the things that you wouldn't think, like, oh, what, that, he's affected by this, that?
Correct, because Eov's friends had to be punished to lose their jobs for a couple weeks to come and comfort Eov. Eov's wife had to go through everything that Eov did, even though she may not have been in love with, she was Dina, you'd assume, right? Eov's kids died. So it's clear that it's not just one person suffering over here. There's many people suffering. Okay, let's look at what happens over here. We say, Ish haya be'eretz Utz, Eov shmo. There was a man that lived in the land. There was a man that lived in the land of Utz, and his name was Eov. Now, first of all, the fact that it says Ish Haya Be'eretz Utz shows us that he existed. That's where Shmuel Bar Nachmeni's line. There was a man in the land of Utz. Where is Utz? There are three different opinions about where Utz was. Either Utz is referring to Avram Avinu's child Utz, as Utz Bechoro, that he had from the six sons of Keturah. The son of Nahor. It could be that he was sent all the way to the B'nai Kedem, all the way to the east, together with Avram's other children of Keturah. It could be that's where he went over there, but that it could be who Utz is referring to, and therefore we're talking about a land to the east, all the way to the east itself, maybe even oriental, right? That could be. It could also be that Utz is a reference to Edom, which is down south. There is a line that's used in Eicha, Sisi v'simchi basadom yosheves be'eretz Utz, that lives in the land of Utz. Seems like Edom lives in Utz itself. That could very well be. Others say it's in the middle of Aram. In the middle there. What I mean by down south would be right near where a lot is. The southern part of the Negev, western part of Saudi Arabia, near the Red Sea. Not the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aqaba, right? Okay, cool. I think that's what it is. That's what it would be over there.
That whole area was Edom.
Yeah, that entire area was referring to Edom. That's where the B'nai Yisrael had to go around by the Meraglim. But that's Avaya Ishahu Tom B'Yashav Yerelikim V'Sar Meirah. This man had four different praises about him. Number one, he was Tom. Number two, he was Yashav. He was a Yirei Elokim, right, feared God, and Sur Mirai, turned away from evil. So the difference between Tam B'Yasher, says the Vilna Gaon, is that a Tam is a person who's born with a certain characteristic. He's born under a certain mazel, and that's the way he is. He is just Tam. He's simple in that way, but made perfect, so to speak. He's not potentially good. He is good, so he just follows in that way. A yusher is a person who turns himself in things that he is not very good at. He makes himself better. He makes himself better in things that he wouldn't have been good at in the first place. So again, he was tum in many different ways, and he was yusher in the other ways. Even the things that he wasn't good at naturally, he worked on himself to become somebody that was even better. Some say that Eov was born mahol, born with a bris milah. Rav Schwab says the explanation to what that means, that he was born circumcised, that doesn't mean anything literally for, you know, for a guy who's not Jewish. So what does it mean he was born mahol? It means many people are born with an urge to eat and an urge to be together with a woman. That urge of being together with a woman was suppressed by Eov. He naturally was mahol, naturally had less of a desire for women than other people would, and that was a tremendous gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, that he didn't have that. He didn't have a problem having children. He had 10 children, 7 boys and 3 girls, as we'll see, and more children later. But nonetheless, he had a suppressed urge when it came to that. That's what it means by being born mahol. Yirei Elokim, we understand. That means he fears God in every which way that he could possibly go on, right? And that obviously is a line that we use only by the greatest people out there. But not only that, Sor Mirei turned away from evil. Chazal tell us he was a matron b'mamono. He gave up of all of his money. When he saw people in the street, he would give up all of his money to be able to help them and to be able to do things for them. The coins of Eov were blessed. When he gave you a coin, it was as if you were blessed with that and people became rich just by having that. Eov went out to other people, right, and even put his name upon them so that they would be given better things from other people. That's the idea behind it. The difference, again, between him and Avram. Avram had a following. Eov had no following. There was no one behind him, nobody under his philosophy. Nobody was doing what Eov was doing. Whether it was Jewish or not Jewish, we don't see him as a Rebbe of any sort to anyone, and that was a major, major difference. He was great. He was great. But you always know something's up when the Pasuk says something so awesome about you. Like, Noach Ish Tzadik. What does the Pasuk say when it says Noach Ish Tzadik? Not so great. Bidoroso view is great, but not everybody else. What do you mean the Pasuk says he's great? The answer is, not everybody is as great as the Pasuk says they are. Here we have the exact same thing. Vayevoldu lo shiva banim. He gave birth to 7 children, 7 sons, the shalosh banos, and 3 daughters. The number 10 is always used when referenced to the Sfiros. This is your job, David, for Sephardi world over here, right? But each one, and we're going to see the numbers are always going to equate to 10. Everything with the animals, etc. And 10 is a level of perfection. It's a number of absolute perfection. That's where Eov got to. He got to the level of perfection. V'yimikneu, shivis alfei sonu, shlosh alfei gamalim. His cattle, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, chamesh meos tzemed bakar, 500 pairs of oxen, the chamesh meos asonos, and 500 female donkeys. V'avudo rabo, he had very, very many business enterprise. This man was greater than all of the people of the East. Now, once again, you have a little bit of a raya from here that this is referring to either people of the East, that he was sent out East, right? Maybe possibly even an Oriental, right? But that's the idea of who he was over here. His children then went and they made huge feasts. Base ish yomo. In the house, each man had their own day. Every kid, you know, once a week, he would invite. V'sholchu v'koru l'shosach yosehem. They sent and they called out to their 3 sisters, which was a rarity in most places back then. Once the sisters got married off into other families, they were essentially gone from the family. They not only didn't inherit anything, but they were completely gone from anything they could possibly have. Lechov v'lishtos imahem. To eat and drink between them. Now, on the one hand, you look at this, and the Ralbag says, this shows that there was family unity. There was achdos between them. Eov had raised a family where everybody loved each other, everybody dealt with one another, and they had parties, and they invited themselves. They remained close to each other, which is absolutely amazing. But there is a certain parish that Rav Schwab mentions over here that says, we don't know who it is, it's an early authority who lived somewhere at the beginning of the 13th century, who says that Eov's children were all Rishayim, which is why they were going to die, because they excessively partied. They had a lot of money, and they used it for themselves and never used it for other people. So because of that, perhaps that refers to the reason why they ended up being killed, that they were always eating and drinking and never getting involved in the better things. As the days of the Mishta were completed, Eov sent a message to Kadshain, and he invited them, and he woke up early in the morning, and he brought Olos, these Korban Olos, Mispar Kulam, for a number of all of them. So every single day after they had the party, and we showed that they had the party almost every day, he would bring a Korban Ola for them because he felt like, oh, what if they do? Kiyamar Eov, Kiziov said, Ulai Chatu Banai, maybe my children sinned, Uberichu Elokim Bo Vavam, maybe they cursed out God in their hearts. Kochi Yase Eov Kol Yamin, that's how great Eov was. He did that every single day. Now, obviously, right, this is something that anybody could take on for themselves, to worry about their children and to have that constant, like, fear, what's going to be, what's going to be. We do this. We fast Bahab, that Monday, Thursday, Monday, after the Rosh Chodesh of Cheshvan and Iyar, for what might have happened over Chol HaMoed, because we have feasting for 7, 8 days, 8, 9 days in America, right? And because of that, we want to be able to do Bahab, just in case somebody did something wrong. That's exactly what we get, and we get it from Iyov. Vayihi. Hayom, it was a certain day, Vavobin Elohim Lisatav al Hashem. The Malachim came to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had the reports to tell what had been done in the world and how everything had happened in the world, etc. These Malachim were going up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to prosecute and to tell them how everything was going to Vayovogamasaltinibasocham. But not only was were the defendant Malachim there, the Malachim that were defending the Jews, but also the Satan, the prosecuting angel, was sitting there to destroy, the destroyer, so to speak, was sitting there saying out these things as well. Now, what is the Satan? What does the Satan stand for? Here, as you grab that. What does he stand for? The Satan stands for, first of all, we have a Gemara in Bava Basra. Hu a Satan, hu a Malacham Aves, hu a Yitzhara. They're all the same. That there's no such thing. Satan just means an adversary. That's all it is. Malacham Aves is the Malach that kills us. The Yitzhara is the inclination within us that gets us to do bad things. That's all it is. There's nothing else to it. There's no like secrets, whatever it is. Those are the real ideas behind what the Satan refers to over here. Now, what was the Satan? What was the Satan saying? What was the Satan doing over here? What was this idea over here? The Satan is the prosecuting angel that goes into the Midas Adin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tries to arouse the Midas Adin over the Midas HaRachman. That's what it is. It is not the Midas Adin of Hashem. The Malach HaMavis is the Malach. Not anything different from that. That's what the Satan was. But the Satan's there to be able to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do Midas Adin more than Midas HaRachman. He has his job. That's his job. That's the way it's supposed to do. And that's that. There is a job for everything over here. If a tzaddik does only good things and never does anything wrong, even the Satan agrees that he gets rewarded. So if a guy is such a great tzaddik, the Satan bows down to that tzaddik. He has nothing to say. But the Satan's job is to find the wrong things and convince Midas Adin to do that.
Is it rare that he's whatever this thing is?
We never find the Satan anywhere else.
Like name?
Yeah, we never find it. First of all, he's never named his Satan. It's only over here. Number two, right, we call him other names throughout Tanakh, but we never call him Satan. Number two, we never see him speak up. We never see the Malach HaMavis speak up. We see Gemaras, the Malach HaMavis speaks to Rabbi Yishuv Malevi, who seems like a nice guy. He's like friends with Amoraim. You know what I'm saying? We don't see the Satan as an actual person as the prosecution. We're just saying this is a mushel of what's going on in Shemayim, so to speak. But Vayomar Shem al-Satan, Me'ayin Tavo, from where have you come? Vayana Satan as Hashem. Satan said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomar Mishuta Baretz, Misal Po. I've been flying throughout the land, right? And I've been searching everything in it. Have you seen my servant Iyov? There is no man like him in the land. You know it's good when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying these things about him, but this is the Midas HaRachem of Hashem. Look how good he is.
Wait, why is that
Midas HaRachem
by saying it back, if it's a fact?
Well, the problem is that we just set up above. There's always something to it, right? If you have a Tum B'Yashar Yerolakim and Sor Mira, Chazal usually darshan that for some type of gnus. Like, for example, Noach Ish Tzadik, right, B'Dorosav, we say, well, in his generation, etc. So there is something up with it. But yes, you'd assume that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying it, but that means it's Midas HaRachamim saying it, right? There always is something up, but Midas HaRachamim is saying, V'yana Satan Hashem V'yomar. Satan got up and said in front of Hashem, Achinom Yorei Yil V'Elokim. Well, let me answer you. Is it for nothing that Iyov fears God? Iyov is fearing you because he's been rewarded really well. He has great stuff in this world. He's extremely wealthy, has awesome kids. He's one of the smartest people out there, and everyone loves him. That's why he fears you. He said, Halo, ata sachto vado. You have protected him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'ad beiso, for his house, v'ad kol asher lo, and everything he does. Misaviv, all around him. Maisi ado berachto. His handiwork, you've benched. And his cattle, they spread throughout the entire land. Chazal says something crazy over here. Rashi brings down his cattle, his sheep, were so crazy that they were able to kill him, their sheep and their goats were able to kill wolves. When the wolves came, the sheep and the goats ate the wolves. That's how awesome his sheep and goats were. That's what Rashi says over here. Ulam, shlachna yadcha. Why don't you send out your hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'gabacho shalo. Touch everything that is his. Im lo al panecha yivarchaka. I guarantee you, he is upon your face. As soon as you go there, he is going to blaspheme you to your face. He's going to curse out your day. Iyov is only who he is because of the great things you gave him. V'yomar Hashem al Satan. Hashem said to the Satan, Nikol shalo biyadecha. Everything he owns, it's in your hands. Rakilav al tishlach yadecha. Please do not put your hand upon him. I don't want him to die. Eve should not be touched. Everything that's around the Vayitzah, Satan Mim Pnei Hashem, so the Satan left the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yayom. It was that day, Uvanu Vavnosav Ochlim Vishosim Yayin, his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine, Beveis Achim HaBachor, in the house of their brother, the oldest one, who Malach Baal Iyuv, and a Malach, a messenger, came to Iyuv Ayomar, and he said to him, HaBakar Ayu Chorshos, Vasonos Rose Ayudayim. The cattle were you know, in the fields, and the donkeys were grazing right by them. Atipo Shvava Tikachem, the area of Sheba, right, came, and they grabbed them. That's an Aram Hikulafikarim, and all of your people, your servants, they killed by the sword. You lost all of your cattle. You lost all of your people. The Imolta Rakani Levadi Lahagilach, I was the only one who was able to escape to be able to tell you. That's when a messenger came and told you. Od Zeb Medaber, as that was going on, and we were going to see something like that. Od Zeb Medaber, Vizeba, we have something else happening over here. And all of a sudden, this guy came. Vayomar, Eish Elokim. A huge fire of God fell from the heavens. It consumed the sheep and all of the men watching them and consumed them. I would assume a lightning strike, perhaps something that's a little bit more than a hurricane. Something crazy just happened. Maybe it's an alien being that came down with a big bright light. That's the proof, right? Oh, it's very possible. The multirakani levadi, and only I escaped, lahagilach, to be able to tell you. No rest in between, right? That was happening, and all of a sudden another one came by Yomar. Kastim samu shlosha roshim. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians, they made three heads by yishtu al gamalim. They came upon the camels by yikachum, and they took all 500 camels as an arm, and they killed all your servants. The multirakani levadi, lahagilach, and I'm the only one that survived. Ad zem medaber. As that one was speaking, this one came. Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the house of their brother, the Bechor. A huge wind came from the other side of the desert. It hit the four corners of the house of Yipol and Arim. And it fell upon those young men, and they all died. And I am the only one that escaped to be able to tell you. Now, as a timeout, I don't mean to give away the ending at the beginning, but the Ramban says that none of this happened. If you'll notice, right, the Pasuk doesn't say it happened. The Pasuk says there were shluchim that came and told Iyov that it happened, but not that it actually happened. That is one way of looking at this, that it never actually happened. All the children, all the animals, everything survived. And it was just a test to see what he would do if it would have happened, what would have been when it came to it. That's one way of looking at it. But in Pashup Shad, and everybody else argues with that Ramban, it actually happened. So it says, right, what happened at that moment? Vayakum Iyov. Iyov got up. Vayikra Esmeilo. He tore his clothing. That is the halacha of what you're supposed to do. We know one of the ways that we learn Hilchos Kriya is from Iyov. Vayogaz Esrosho. Here, he pulled out the hair of his head. This is one of the reasons why we say that this is a goy and not a Jew, because we know this is one of the things that are usur for a Jew to do, right? But if Yagaz is Rosh, Vayipo Arza, and he fell down to the ground, Vayishdachu, and he bowed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomer, Aroim Yatasim Yivatinimi, I came out naked from the stomach of my mother, Va'arum Yashuv Ashuv Shama. I'm going to return there completely naked. Hashem Nosan Vashem Lakach. God giveth, God taketh. Yishem Hashem Avorach. May the name of God be blessed forever and ever. If you haven't heard that line, you have not been to a Reform funeral. And I applaud you for that. But that is the famous line over here, that Hashem giveth, Hashem taketh, that Iyov was saying, okay, I accept it. I accept whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Bechol zos, lochata Iyov. With all this that happened, Iyov did not sin. V'lonasan tefilu Elokim. But nonetheless, he did do something wrong. He didn't daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't ask for mercy. He didn't say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let this be it. That was the biggest issue that Iyov had, that he didn't keep growing. And here's the issue. The Satan saw how great of a tzaddik he was. That was not to be questioned. There was no question how great Iyov was. What was the problem? He never wanted to become better. How could you not want to become better? You should be davening for more and more to happen. How could you not do that? That was the problem with Iyov. That's what we look at Iyov and we say, how did you not daven? How did you not ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy? How could you not say to HaKadosh, daven to him? That he didn't do. Vayayom, and the next year, possibly on Rosh Hashanah once again, it says, Vayavo b'nei Elokim l'isatzav al Hashem. Again, the Malachim came to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehogam HaSaltim B'socham, and Saltim came with them. L'isatzav al Hashem, stand before Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and tell him what happened. Vayom HaShem al-Saltim, Emi Zetavo, where do you come from? Now, it's possible, by the way, and I'm going to put this as a side note parenthetically, this could be the second day of Rosh Hashanah. That would be pretty awesome, right? First day of Rosh Hashanah, that happened. Second day of Rosh Hashanah, this happened. But it's most likely it's the next year. Shem said, I have traveled throughout the land, I've gone throughout it. Hashem said to the Satan, have you put your heart, have you paid attention to my servant Eov? Can't come over Eretz, there's no one like him in the land. A man who is so perfect and straight and fears God and he turns away from evil. Look at him, he's still perfect. And you have incited me to swallow him up for nothing, for naught, for no reason. Why did you make me do this? Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not swayed by anybody. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do that. But the fact that the Satan said it, right, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu put out an Isayin to be able to raise him to the test, and he did it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I knew he would survive. You knew he would survive. Why would you allow this to happen over here? Why would you allow such a, or why would you allow, why would you ask for such an Isayin, which is beyond what normal people get? To which Vayana Satan Hashem Vayomar, Od Ba'ad or Ba'ad Or, I'm sorry, skin for skin. You know the line, an eye for an eye, right? An ear for whatever, hand for hand, etc. Or bad or. You know, a person would give up skin for his other skin. The literal translation comes in something like this. If something's coming toward your eye, right, what are you going to do? Instinctively, you put your hand up. You're willing to give up one part of your body for the other. That's what a person always does. The question is, which part of your body do you consider more chashuv, right? And most people consider their face or whatever it is more chashuv. They'll put up their hand to block their face from being hit. That's normally what happens. Or bad or. I'm willing to save one part of my body with another part of the body. So in other words, that's true by Eve as well. A person will give anything for his own soul. Ulam, shlachna yodcho v'gal atzma. Why don't you touch Eve himself? V'al b'saro in his flesh. Im lo panecha yivarcheka. I will guarantee you that he will curse you upon your face. Yom HaShem al-Seltan, hino b'yodcha, b'yodecha. Behold, he's in your hands. Achaz nafsho shmor. However, you got to keep him alive. Chazal tell us what a Kaddish Baruch Hu told Satan to do, right, was harder than anything else that he has ever asked the Sultan to do. It's basically like, punish him to the point of death, but don't kill him. He said, like, how am I supposed to do that? How am I going to be able to keep him that way? He didn't know how to do it or how this is going to happen. So Vayetze HaSultan Meis Pnei Hashem, so the Sultan left Hashem. Vayachaziyu B'shchin Ra, Kaddish Baruch Hu gave him a horrible, or the Satan, I guess, gave him a horrible boil disease. Mikaf Raglov Ad Kad Kado. It went from the bottom of his feet all the way to the top of his head. It was so bad, he took shards of pottery and scraped off his skin to get rid of the pain that he had from it. And he sat inside cool ashes in order to get rid of the pain. The pain was so immense and so tremendous where he could not get over it. There was literally nothing he could do over here. Now, what kind of disease was this? So, of course, in Baltimore, there was a Dr. David I. Macht who wrote a paper on Eov's disease. He said that it was something called pemphigus, P-E-M-P-H-I-G-U-S. Have you never heard of it? Which I haven't. I don't know. He describes it as this: an acute disease characterized by the formation of irregularly scattered, variously sized, round or oval blebs, from that of a small pea to that of a hen's egg, blisters or bullae arising suddenly and unexpectedly from the skin, which is usually accompanied by constitutional disturbances, which means in the inside, burning and pain, aches and pains in the bones and joints, lack of appetite, diarrhea, depression, and general malaise, is fatal in 90% of cases. That's the sickness that Eov got, and that was the sickness that was setting him there. He, Mamish, didn't know what to do with himself. Didn't know what to do with himself. Again, this is not a guy who's lived through as like a leper in the middle of India, who can accept pain, whatever. He's lived an awesome life, an awesome life. Chazal tells us this happened at the age of 70, when Eov was 70 years old. He's lived a great life. This was not easy for him. It's not easy for anybody, but it's even harder when your whole life has been a lot easier than this, and you've had all this simcha, all of a sudden this happens. So look what happens. Vatoma Lovisho and his wife said to him, Odcha masik b'sumasecha. Are you still holding on to your faith in God? Baruch Elohim b'meis. Just curse out God and let yourself die. Dina, or possibly whoever the wife of Eov was, said, there is literally nothing you can do now. You've lost all of your money, you lost all of your children, and now you've got this disease that nobody can even imagine you having. It's better for you to die right now. I would commit suicide if I were you, and if you can't do it, then curse out God. God will kill you instead.
Well, maybe that's why he didn't die in the first time. It was in...
What? That too much pain?
No. The first time, when everything else
yeah.
was taken away from him, that so he said, okay, fine, now I'll die, and that's okay.
But he didn't say that because his wording at the end of the first parak, the wording that he used was Yishem Hashem Mevorach.
No.
Yeah.
V'nasam la tefila alakim, and then the lo nasam tefila alakim. He didn't dab it.
That definitely true, but he did say Yishem Hashem Mevorach. So he did bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what had happened, as if to say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, even though something bad happened. So you'd think, like, but this is what she said. She said, you might as well do it. Cursing out HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So that's usher even for a goy. So it didn't matter whether he was Jewish or not. And he spoke to her, Kidaber Achas and Avalos. You speak the language of one of the most abominable peoples to Daberi. That's what you're saying to me. That's what abominable people do. We should accept the good from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And should we not accept the bad? Whatever he did, he never sinned with his lips. He didn't sin with his lips. But Chazal already gave you a little bit of a hint. He didn't sin with his lips. He might have said on the outside the right things. On the inside, he was in turmoil. He couldn't deal with it. He couldn't handle it. He was going crazy over all the things that were happening. Yeah.
Technically, you could argue that he did sin with his lips because he didn't daven.
But that means he did sin with his lips by not davening. You know what I'm saying? That would have been a sin of the lack of him davening. I would think it's the opposite when it comes to that.
It's not a sin to not daven for him.
If he's not Jewish. If he was Jewish, then it would have been a sin because you're over on the mitzvah say of davening once per day, least once per day.
I mean, it was before Matan Torah.
Well, if it was before Matan Torah, right. It was before Matan Torah. Even before Matan Torah, it could be from the Avos because remember, Shacharis Mechamarv come from the Avos. It could be that the chiyuv to daven was already there from Minig Avoseinu B'yadeinu. So I don't know. I honestly don't know. But nonetheless, right, it was a sin that he kept with himself as well. Now, again, the Satan got Eov. He knew exactly what would happen for Eov, and this is what happened. This was the result. We're starting, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yishmu Shloshes Rei Eov. The three friends of Eov heard, Eskol Ra Zos HaBa'a Love, all the evil that had happened upon him. Vayavo Ishmin Komo. They all came from their place, from where they lived. Eliphaz HaTemani. Eliphaz lived in Teman. That was down south. Yes, this is Eliphaz, the son of Esav. This is the famous Eliphaz. We're going to see he is a Navi. And we're going to see that he became a very, very great man. Father of... Who's he the father of? Many different people, but Amalek, unfortunately. We're going to see Timna, who became somebody out there. It's possible that Amalek was actually a mamzer, but regardless. Ubildad Ashuhi, Bildad of Shuhi, Sofer Hana Mosi. They all met together. Chazal say some crazy things, that they were all many, 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 many miles away. They found out because they all had like this piece of this tree. When the tree withered, they knew somebody was in trouble. It was sort of like, Lassie, like, barking. And you're like, what is it, boy? Right? Timmy's in the well? Like, you have no idea, but somehow they figured it out. Or they had some type of magic that kept them connected to one another. Vayvod v'yachtav, they all met together, lavolan nudlo ulenachmo. They came to mourn him and to comfort him, to try to say, what can we do? Vayisu asenayim, come. They lifted up their eyes, mirachot, v'lo kiru. They lifted up their eyes from afar, and they didn't recognize him. Because Eov had this huge, as we just said, what was that disease again? Pemphigus, I don't know how to pronounce it. Right? They didn't recognize him. He looked horrible. He looked absolutely horrible. They couldn't recognize him. V'yisu kolam, they lift up their voice. V'yivku, and they cried. V'yiku yishmilo, they all tore their own clothing. V'yisu kol afral rosheim. They poured dirt on their heads, Hashemayim, all the way up to the heavens. V'yishu yitola aretz. And they sat with him on the ground, Shivas Yom Shivas Lelo, 7 days, 7 nights. We actually do learn the concept of Shiva from Eov, if this happened right after all of his children died. That's a possibility. But ain't Dover, I loved Dover. Nobody would speak a word to him. Ki ro, ki gadol al ka'ev mod. They saw how hurt he was. And that's halacha. Don't get up at a Shiva house and think that you have to make conversation. You have to be that guy, like, so, how's the weather? Oh, that's right, you can't go outside. It's not that is not the way. You don't go in and do stuff like that. They saw it was bad. Then Eov opened up his mouth and he cursed out the day that he had been born in the world itself, right? Now, this is the line we're going to get into Perek Gimel right now. This is Eov's first speech. What's that?
Curse, Hashem, though.
Well, we're going to see. It's pretty bad. It's going to be really, really bad. The following of what he's going to say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be really bad over here. Chazal tell us, you should have friends like the friends of Eov or not at all. right? The friends of Eov were people that were willing to come and help him from all over the place. The only reason why they got involved and started saying bad things to him is because they thought he was blaspheming God, and they said, you can't blaspheme Hashem. That was their only line. But otherwise, you should have friends like the friends of Eov, somebody who will be there for you no matter what, somebody who will always help you no matter what happens. That was the idea behind it. So let's see this first speech over here. The first thing we're going to have is, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eov decided, and he realized, God created the world. There's no question about that. He had no issues about that whatsoever. His question was, is God really paying attention? Is God really mashkiach on everything I do? Does he really care? Maybe God created the world and then allows it to continue to exist, but he doesn't care about me individually. He allows nature to go, and that's that. How else could I have so much good and all of a sudden so much bad? It's got to be random. It's got to be random. Now, I don't know. If I'm looking at this, again, I'm not the greatest tzaddik, but if I'm looking at this, I'm like, well, if you had all this awesome good and then all this awesome bad, I would tell you that kind of proves to me there is hashgacha. And clearly there was a switch. You might not know the switch, but clearly there was a switch. It is not natural for a person to be that successful and then all of a sudden that poor that quickly in one day. That doesn't happen. I've never seen that happen to anyone in the world. I've seen people become poor, but not in one day. Can it happen? Yeah, sure. Let's say you own a bunch of nursing homes, you get into real big trouble with the government, and you lose them all, right? You lose everything. So you lose all of your money and everything's completely gone. You own a construction company, you're sued by somebody for $1 million, your whole thing goes down, right? Everything goes down, your entire company goes down. You lose. That could happen in a day. I get that. I definitely get it. Just normally, that's, I would say, that's not natural. That's not the natural way of the world. That's something different. I'm sorry?
Or if you win the lottery. Or right. A lot of people.
Right, 100%. Lottery, all of a sudden, you're living, you're in squalor, you're living in absolute nothing, you're living in a trailer park in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden, for $400 a month or something, right, and then all of a sudden, you win the lottery, and everything changes, the whole thing. Usually 6 months later, you're in the trailer park again. But regardless, right, you see that that at least is around there. But this is the concept. He wanted to turn everything off. Ayan Iyuv Yomar. Iyuv got up, and he said the following. Yoma Yovad Yomi Volet Bo. If only the day I was born on was totally lost. V'halayla omar hora gover. And the night on which it was said, the man impregnated the woman. On the night that I was conceived, I wish it never would have happened. I wish that night would have happened. I wish the day that I was born never happened. I wish that day was filled with darkness. Al yidrasheyu aloha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have seeked it out mimal from up above. Val tofa lav nahara. That there should be no light shining upon that day. As if that day ceases to exist from the past. I wish that all of a sudden I'd be gone. That day never existed. That I never existed in the first place. Now, here's a weird word. Yigaluhu choshech. You see the word yigaluhu? You know what the shorish of that word is? Look at that word. What do you think the shorish is? Goel. What does goel mean?
Redeem.
Redeem, right? So it sounds like it should be redeemed. No. Choshech is it should be despised and disgusted by the darkness. It's literally the opposite. I'm telling you, in Eov, the words are the exact opposite. I'm sorry. Yes, normally it would be. The words in Eov are impossible to translate. Absolutely impossible. You go lu choshech v'tzal mavis in the shadow of death. Tishkan alav anana, may a cloud be upon it. Yiva'asuhu kimrire yom. Allow it to be so terrifying, you know, so scary, it should be like the bitterness and the most destructive of all days. That's the day of my birth. Halailahu yikacheyu ofel. That night that I was conceived, may the darkness overtake it. Au yichad bimei shana. I don't want it to be counted within the days of the year. B'mispar yorachem ayavo. Let it not be included in the number of months. There is no September. There should be no September. It should never have existed. The whole thing will be completely gone. Hine alaylahu yi galmud. That night should be left all alone. Al tovo renanabo. There should be no joy that comes on that day. In other words, the night, the joy of the man being together with his wife should never have happened on that day. Yikvuhu orere yom. May it be cursed by those who curse the day. You know the people that curse the day? They were eulogizers. They were professional eulogizers that would get up at funerals and be like, "Whoa, to the day!" You know, like those types of guys. Those are the guys that are called the Oreyom. Ha'asidim Orer Livyosam. That are ready to arouse the people that are there for a Levaya. Now, we all know. What does the word Livyosam mean?
Whale.
All right, the huge whale, the Leviathan, whatever it is. But that's not what it means over here. Once again, it just means many people, right? Many people that are mourning together. Later on, when we get to Perek Mamalef, we're going to see, we are talking about the Livyasan. But for right now, we're like, it's not that yet. It's not going to be that yet. I'm telling you, it was impossible. Yichshichu kochvei nishbo. May the stars of the twilight darken. Yikav l'or v'ayin. Let them hope for light on the next day when I would have been born. But the day never came. Val yiraba afape shachar. They should not see the break of the dawn. Kilo sagadalse vitni, because he did not close the doors of my belly itself. In other words, referring to the forces of nature, did not close the umbilical cord and the doors of my mother's womb to allow me to come out. They didn't close them. Vayaster amo meinai, which would have hidden the agony that I've been through in my own eyes. Now, hold on for a second. I want everybody to realize this for a second. Eov has had two bad days, plus the 7 days that he was mourning, right, over this. Altogether, if it was the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah 1, Rosh Hashanah 2, and then 7 days where his friends came, etc., 9 days of his life of 70 years were bad. Now, I'm not saying they weren't horrible. They were horrible, the worst days of his life, without a question. But that, he's saying, these 9 days, right, I'm forgetting about everything that happened beforehand. And the truth is, that's what we all do. We look at ourselves where we are right there at that moment. We forget what we've been through. We forget the things beforehand. Whether it's good or for bad, whatever we are at the moment, that's what we're thinking of. My life stinks because of right now. I mean, my life is awesome because of right now. That's what you think. It's like you don't think about that.
Every aspect, also the way we deal with people. Mm-hmm. Like if someone,
the last thing that they did. What have you done for me lately? Yeah.
Or someone who you trust your entire life, and then 1 second they do something.
That's it.
All of a sudden, it's
all and I'm
gone.
Not saying that's wrong. Yeah, I'm saying that is the reality of life. That he said this, and I can't get over it. He said, "Lama lo merechem amus? Why didn't I die when I came out of the womb? Mi beten yatzisi ve'egva. From the stomach I came out, I should have perished right away. I wish that would have happened to me," he said. "Madua kid muni birkayim. Why is it that the knees welcomed me?" In other words, the knees of my mother as she was giving birth. "Umashadaim kinak. Why did those, the breasts that I suckled when I came out, why did they even exist? I wish they would have dried up, withered, so that I would have died. Kiatosh shachati veshkot. Now, I would be dead. I'd be lying quietly. Yoshanti azinuachli. I'd be asleep. Everything would have been good for me. Im malachim biyotze aretz habonim charavos lamoy. Together with the kings, right, and those who advise people in the land that build up ruins for themselves." Now he's just looking at everything. So at first, he's just cursing out the day of his birth. Now he's looking at everybody else. He's like, you know what? Kings don't last. Kingdoms don't last. Rulers don't last. They also die. And what happens in the end? Their palaces are destroyed. Nobody remembers who they are. What's the point? What's the point of anybody being alive? It's not just me. Everybody dies. Oim sarim zahav lahem. Do all the princes have their gold that they want? They all get the gold that they want. Hamemalim batayim kosef. They fill their houses with silver because they never get exactly what they want. They get stuff, but they don't get all the stuff that's out there.
I mean, they want the gold and they only get the silver.
They only get the silver, exactly. Okay, nefel tomen loa yeh. I should have been like a hidden stillborn. Right, hidden stillborn, in which it would never have been in the world in the first place. Ka'olim lo ro'or, like infants that never saw the light itself. I wish that would have been over here, and that's that. Now, listen to this for a second. Rav Schwab, this is the beauty of Rav Schwab. He tells over stories going through. Now, when he was a Rav in Ichenhausen, Germany, in 1933 to 1936, one of his congregants there was arrested and imprisoned. This is before the second half of the decade of the 30s, where the Germans, you know, imprisoned everybody and threw everybody into jail, whatever it was. This is in 1933, sometime around then. After his release, he was so humiliated. And remember, these are German Jews. The people are like, you know, so meticulous at everything. So humiliated, he had planned to commit suicide. Right? And he asked Rav Schwab to take care of his family. He told Rav Schwab that he couldn't live with his shame because no one in his family had ever been sent to jail before. It's the first time it ever happened. He would end it all, and then he could rest peacefully. He said, then I'll rest peacefully. That line of, Oz Yanuach, then I'd be okay. So Rav Schwab encouraged him to go on with his life, and I sent to him, firstly, the fact that you were imprisoned by the rogue Nazis, not that big of a chiddush. Hitler's in charge now. Who knows what's going to be now that Hitler's in charge? Secondly, and more importantly, you will not be ending it all and resting peacefully if you kill yourself. You are then going to be judged, and your judgment is not going to be all the more fairer for the fact that you just committed suicide.
Wouldn't that be more busha for the family?
In a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's thinking about himself. And that's his line. And because of that, on the contrary, it was the opposite lay. On his last Shabbos in Ichenhausen, before he came to America in December 1936, the congregants all came. After everyone had left, this man came privately to thank him for saving his life and going through. Unfortunately, Rav Schwab doesn't know what happened to him. He may have survived. He may not have survived out of Germany. He has no idea what happened to this guy afterward. But that was the guy. It says in Pasuk Tezayin, Shom Rishayim Chodlu Reiges. There, you know what happens to the Rishayim when they die? They no longer are any. They're not angry anymore. There's so much anger in this world, but when they get to the grave, they're all happy and peaceful. Sham yenuch yigei koach. People are whatever. They're weary, right? They rest. Yes, this is a line. Where do we say that? Not Mizmor David. Yonah Matzav Amanah. Sham yenuch yigei koach. This is the line, it's from Iyuv. Kind of not in the same way that we're thinking it on Shabbos, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not saying it's Shem Yenuchu Yigia Koach, we're thinking of the grave. Like, he's using it for Shabbos. We're saying it, we're using it for Shabbos. He's using it as like, yes, when you die, this will happen to you. Yachad Asirim Shananu. Together, all the prisoners will find their tranquility. Lo Shomu Kol Noges. They are no longer going to hear the demanding voice of the person who's driving them to do all this evil. Katva Gadol Shamhu. Whether you're small or big, that's where you're going. You're going to the grave. The Eved Koshim Adonav. Guess what? The slave will be free of his master there. There's a lot of stuff that's learned out from Eved Gadol V'Katan, right? The Gadol V'Katan Sham Yihu, that he's going to be over there. What does that mean exactly over here? A bunch of things. Number one, over there is when you truly know who is great and who is not. That's where you truly understand it. Here, somebody might look great, but they're not actually great. Somebody might look really small, but they're not actually small. There are many, many great men who are not as great as they seem. There are many, many small men, right, who are a lot greater than they actually seem. Who's the greatest person in the world? Do you think, I don't mean to say it this way, but forgive me for saying it this way, but is President Trump the greatest person in the world? Clearly not, but he's in the highest position, possibly the greatest position in the world, the one who has the most influence in anyone in the world. That makes him, so to speak, the king of the world. Is he the greatest person alive? I certainly hope not. Certainly hope not. Not saying anything bad, but at the end of the day, what is it? Only there do we figure out who's a gadol and who's a katan. We can't figure it out over here. It's almost impossible for anybody to go around, right? And that's that. Where else do we have? Right. This is the philosophical system, by the way, called existentialism. That what's the point of the world if everybody's going to die in the first place? That everything is just a mirage because in the end, nobody survives. So you might as well not do it in the first place. What's the point if nobody's going to end up going anywhere in the first place? And that's that. We might as well have been abandoned to everything out there, and the physical life doesn't mean anything. So you might as well do anything in this world, because who cares? What difference does it make? It says, Lama yitein la'amel or, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow Amel to have any light? And give life to those who are embittered of soul. What's the point? People are waiting to die, and God won't let them. This is sometimes very sad. You see the people, right, that are very, very sick and just want to die. They just want it to be over. And they're not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not letting them die. Halachically speaking, you're not allowed to take those people's lives. It may seem to the doctor that it's more kind to take away his life, but we hold the halacha that's not true. Every second that he spends in this world is something better for him. We don't understand why, and we don't get that exactly, but you cannot do anything to hurry up his death. It says, Vayachbaru mimatmonim. And instead, they dig, those that dig, for more than just the hidden treasures out there. Asmechem ele gil. They greatly rejoice as a happy occasion came to cover, right? When they find a grave. That's how happy they are. They're happy just to die. As long as, in the end, they're going to die. Everybody knows the famous line, right? The Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef, Braid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, died. Or, I shouldn't say died. He was dying, right? And all of a sudden, he was in like a coma state. And then he came out of it. So Rabbi Shulman Levi said to him, what did you see when you were up there? Apparently he had seen things, whatever it is. What did you see when you're up there? What do they call them now? NDEs, near-death experiences, right? They have those guys that the Israelis, I never trust the Israelis that come back and say it. I momish think that they're reading it out of a book and then coming and telling it over. These people for sure have read the Svarim about this stuff. I just can't trust them.
Well, I know a guy who his friend happened to him.
Are we positive? Or did you just know this stuff in the first place?
No.
That's the problem. I'm not saying they're all fakes.
I mean,
there probably are some real guys.
It happened in before
all these things
recent
happened.
Recent stories.
It has to be before it, because now these guys that are coming around.
He had mad cow disease and died.
He had mad cow disease? Was he a cow?
No. Mad cow disease, no.
How did he get it?
So, actually, the people from his area, like one in, like, a million or whatever, get it, or one in 10 million. Or something.
What?
I don't know, wherever.
Does he
it is.
Live in a farm?
No,
that's crazy.
From Tripoli or whatever, I guess.
Wow, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. But either way, so he asked Rabbi Shimon Levi, he said, "What did you see up there?" And he said, "I saw an opposite world. Those who were up down here were down up there, right? Those who are down here were up there." Now, I always had a question on that Gemara. You know what my question was on that Gemara? I said, "Rabbanim, rabbis." Are up in this world. They're given a lot of kavod. Does that mean they're down in Olam Haba? So I asked this somebody great. He said, no. He said, those people who are given stature, but you know they don't have it, are the ones that are down. Those people who are not given stature, but you know they deserve it, are the ones that are up. The other people, who knows? Who knows what's going to be with them? Right? But that's the idea that I always heard over there. I know, regardless, legevra shir darko nistara. Why would God give man a life, right, when everything is so hidden? where nobody understands what he's doing. By Yosech Elo Abado, and now Eve starts to curse out. Eve starts to curse out God himself. Up until now, it's been about Eve himself. It's been about all the things that he's done, etc., and stuff like that. Now, it gets bad. Ozzy, hear what he's doing? He's looking at it and saying, why would all these bad things happen? And why is God letting it happen? Now it gets bad. By Yosech Elo Abado, why is God closing him in, not letting him out? Why is Kadosh Baruch Hu not helping him when he could have helped him? Ki lifnei lachmi an chasi savo. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen. Wait, why not help him? Why not get him out of it?
He's dovetailing off of these people that want to die and not letting them die. Isn't that what he's saying?
He was saying about himself that I wish I never would have lived. Then he looks at everybody in the world and he wonders, why in the world would anybody live? There's no point in the first place. Existentialism, as we said. Right? His third part is, you know what? I don't understand what God is doing. He went further and further and further on until finally got to the point where I don't get it. I don't get what God is doing. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu not help? Before my food, I have to groan and I have to work and I have to do all this garbage. And my roaring pours forth as if it was water. I work like a dog, right? And I don't get anything out of it. That's what he's saying. I don't understand why the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the world seems to be ruling over and that people just become sick or crippled or whatever it is because that's the way of life. I don't get it. Why does it have to be that way? Why can't it be something different? I've been afraid my whole life. I've been afraid. I've had this fear that something bad was going to happen. Remember, what did he do for his kids after they all had their parties? He brought korban olas every single day after the party thinking something might happen. And it happened to me. That's exactly what happened to me. That which I was always dreading of. Yavoli. It's exactly what came to me. That's exactly what it is. It's as if to say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a kashkacha pratis. It's sort of like a premonition that I have. It's not that this is what's going to happen because of something that I did. It's because all of a sudden, my nature, I made my worst fear come true. Lo shalavti v'lo shakati v'lo nachti v'yavoroges. I couldn't find any well-being. I could never be tranquil. I could never be happy with what I had. And all of a sudden, this roges happened. So now he's looking back at his life and he's saying, you know what? I never enjoyed life. I never had a good life. Everything I did in life really stunk. Because even when I was having all that money and all these kids and all the things that were good, I was sitting there the whole time saying, you know what? Maybe it won't last. Maybe something will happen. Maybe my kids will sin. I kept thinking bad things. So every time something good was happening, I was acting with such fear. So really, my whole life has been stinky. That's what he says over here. By Yavorogis. And that's exactly what happened. In the end, everything I feared actually came true. So now, those two lines, the two lines that he just said over here, three lines, I guess, altogether, in which now he's looking at a Kadosh Baruch Hu and he's saying, why God would he be here? That's the line that we set up above, where Eve says, I know there's a God, I just don't think he's with us anymore. I don't think he's in this world, I don't think he cares about us, I don't think he's taking care of us. Now Eliphaz gets up. Eliphaz did not speak for 7 days straight, and Eliphaz is the oldest of all of them. Eliphaz is also a Navi, especially if he's the son of Esav. We're talking about a very, very great man, a grandson of Yaakov, of Yitzchak Avinu, who learned by Yitzchak Avinu. Granted, he was sent by his father Esav to kill Yaakov, but he didn't do it. Took away his money instead. I always love that story. You know, like Eliphaz comes back to his father, right, Esav, and Esav says, so, did you kill Yaakov? And he's like, sorta. He's like, what do you mean, sorta? He said, I took away his money, and halachically, taking away his money means that he's dead. He just looks at him like, no. That's not what I wanted. What kind of a conversation is that? But Eliphaz,
he just told Esav, yeah, he's dead.
He's dead?
And then Esav later figured it out.
Found out. Like, and that's when he killed Eliphaz? Can you lie to your father if he tells you to kill someone?
He didn't lie.
He's dead. Ah, very good. Halakhically, he's dead. Halakhically, he's dead. All right. We're going to have to... Let's pause right here for a second. I have a...